If you're in business, you need to be kept informed. In Business on Radio Kerry, every Thursday from 6 to 7pm.
You're very welcome back to the final part of In Business with Mary Gallagher. Now, Budget 2023 is less than 4 weeks away. We'll be hearing all about it on September 27th, and there are lots of asks of the government. Well, IBEC this week released its Budget 2023 campaign, what it is appealing to the government to do to look after Irish businesses. Well, to tell us more about this, I'm joined on the line now by Hazel Ahern Flynn, who is an economist with IBEC. Hazel, good evening. You're very welcome to the programme.
Hi Mary, thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So look, IBEC has just launched its Budget 23 campaign. We're about less than four weeks away now from the budget. Maybe before we get into what IBEC is hoping to see out of this upcoming budget, will you remind us about the work of IBEC and who exactly it represents?
Yeah, so IBEC is Ireland's largest business representative group. So we would represent thousands of businesses around Ireland, and that ranges everywhere from kind of your small local business right up to the big multinational and indigenous Irish companies. So we'd represent businesses across every sector, all the way from the likes of retail to services through to manufacturing. And we'd have offices all around Ireland in Dublin, Waterford, Cork, Limerick, Galway and Donegal. So we'd engage with government and with stakeholders on a range of issues relating to business, both local and national.
Okay. So look, IBEC is proposing new measures for the budget totalling around €2 billion. Can you give us an outline of the thinking behind this?
Yeah, that's right. So we've outlined a package of about €2 billion in proposed new measures that we'd like to see at budget day. And I suppose they're a mix of measures to, on the one hand, deal with some of the immediate challenges that we're seeing at the moment in the economy in terms of very rapidly rising energy prices and cost pressures, while on the other hand, they're aimed at making sure that we don't forget some of the longer term strategic issues for the Irish economy. And that would be the likes of investing in education and skills, making sure that we're remaining as competitive as possible in terms of both attracting inward foreign direct investment and supporting our own indigenous Irish businesses to grow. And then we'd also like to see a focus on making sure we invest in infrastructure in this country to increase our productivity and capacity in the economy.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned infrastructure there. IBEC has stated in its pre-budget submission the importance of the National Development Plan being delivered and an increase in capital expenditure next year. Can you talk to us about the potential benefits out of that?
Yeah, well, I suppose the story behind the National Development Plan is essentially the experience in this country since the financial crash in 2008 is essentially that we underinvested in infrastructure. So the National Development Plan essentially sets out the government's roadmap of a fairly ambitious spending to start bringing us up to scratch in those areas. So it lays out government plans on infrastructure in everywhere from housing through to education, healthcare, transport and energy infrastructure. So everything from kind of roads to moving towards renewable energy generation is dealt with under the National Development Plan. In terms of the benefits, they're kind of twofold. So firstly, it allows us as a country to start addressing some of the capacity and the quality of life issues that have been building in this country around everything from access to housing to capacity pressures that have been building up on our roads and in the education system. And then the second benefit in terms of investing in infrastructure is to improve productivity in the economy as a whole. So essentially, over the last couple of years, our economy has been growing and the population itself has been growing. And what we need to see is public investment in our infrastructure that accommodates that and that allows us the room to keep growing.
Over the last year or so, we've seen a lot of new policies when it comes to employees, pension, statutory sick pay, the living wage. IBEC is looking for a labour market transition rebate for employers. Is this because of the implementation of all these new policies?
That's right, yeah. So when you kind of look out to the medium term, there are quite a few changes coming down the line that are going to have impacts on labour costs for businesses. So you name-checked a couple of them there, changes around sick pay, auto-enrolment of employees into pension schemes, and then also movements towards a living wage. And all of those are going to have an impact on labour costs for businesses. So from our own estimates, we estimate that they'll add about 9% to the average labour cost in Ireland over the next 10 years, which will have a particular impact on SMEs. A lot of these changes that are being discussed or already going ahead, we think that they would have merit in principle, But one of the issues from a business perspective is really just the coordination and the timing of all kind of coming down the line at the same time. And when you take it all together, that means that we're expecting quite significant increases in terms of labour costs for businesses all in. So in terms of what IBEC is looking for as a support for businesses that are most impacted by this higher labour costs, that would be firstly a temporary payment break from the National Training Fund levy, which is essentially a levy of 1% of payroll for businesses. Even just a temporary break for the most impacted businesses, that would go quite a ways towards reducing the labour costs that they're facing. And then the second part would be through a voucher scheme also funded through the National Training Fund, and that would cover the cost of upskilling and training staff as well.
Energy, we can't go far without talking about it these days, whether it's energy security or the actual cost of it. It's impacting on absolutely everybody. IBEC is calling for measures to deal with this. Can you talk to us about what you're hoping to see in the budget then?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, as you say, obviously the really rapid increase in energy costs is a big issue, both for households and businesses. From the perspective of some of our members, they've been seeing energy costs 4 to 5 times higher than would have been the case a year ago. And that's particularly true for energy intensive or relatively low margin businesses, that they're seeing a huge squeeze in terms of their energy costs. And that would be a really serious concern. So in terms of what we're looking for, firstly, the government is in the process of clearing direct energy supports for the worst impacted businesses under the EU state aid rules. What IBEC would like to see is that as soon as that state aid process clears the supports, we'd like to see them rolled out very significantly to start tackling some of those costs and provide those needed supports for business. And we'd like to see that before budget day if possible, and if the state aid clearance allows. And then in the longer term, in terms of supports for businesses, we'd like to see incentives to speed up the take-up of low-carbon and energy-efficient upgrades. The high cost of energy at the moment means that there's a natural movement among businesses to try and increase their energy efficiency and to cut their costs. So now would be an especially effective time to roll out incentives for energy efficiency and encourage the adoption of low-carbon technologies. And we have a range of supports outlined in our budget submission, and they would include things like an expansion of the Sustainable Energy Authority's grant schemes, changes around our VAT rules to allow for preferential VAT treatment for lower, for kind of green technologies and low-carbon technologies, and then also support schemes like the micro and mini generation scheme, which allows businesses and households that would generate their own renewable electricity on site, for example, through solar power generation, that also allows them to feed that energy back into the grid and receive a payment. So we outline kind of a range of measures that we'd like to see, both to help tackle the costs for businesses, but also to help support that kind of low carbon transition that we all know is kind of in train at the moment.
We spoke about energy, but of course there are other huge issues facing society here, likes of childcare, housing, the labour market, access. Can you talk to us about the targeted measures that IBEC is suggesting to meet these big challenges?
Yeah, that's right. So we've been hearing from our own members in the business community for a while now that both housing and childcare are acting as really serious barriers in terms of attracting and retaining employees in this country. So firstly, on housing, one of the key asks we have is to provide an additional $180 million to extend the Help to Buy scheme. And the purpose of that would be to keep new build housing viable and in reach of first-time buyers. And then as we kind of talked about broadly earlier in the National Development Plan, we're also calling on government to follow through on its commitments under that within the Housing for All plan. In terms of childcare, again, that can be quite a serious barrier in terms of labour market access, and quite a challenge for parents trying to access affordable childcare or sufficient childcare. So to that end, we're also calling for an additional $167 million to be made available to expand childcare and make it more affordable. And in particular, that would go towards increasing the universal childcare subsidy that's available to every child, raising the income thresholds for eligibility under the National Childcare Scheme to bring it back in reach of middle-income households. And then also some of that would go towards providing more out-of-hours childcare to accommodate parents that might work non-standard hours.
Among the measures you've also included, measures, I suppose, to protect our experience economy, you have the likes of increasing funding for overseas tourism promotion and product development. And one that is very important here in Kerry, especially for hospitality, is to make the 9% rate of VAT permanent. You believe that, you know, that could be very beneficial for many sectors here in the country and for the country as a whole.
That's right. Yes. So the experience economy has had a difficult couple of years coming out of COVID, and it's now facing additional difficulties along with the rest of business in terms of these energy costs at the same time. So we've called for a range of measures to support them. So you name-checked one of them there, which is to continue the 9% VAT rate, and that would have an additional benefit in terms of also taking some of the heat out of inflation and some of the areas that that applies to. What we're also looking for is some of the funding made available under the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund to go towards things like overseas tourism promotion, like bringing activity and vibrancy back to town centres and city centres, so funding the likes of kind of festivals and events and things to keep people kind of out and about again in the experience economy.
Okay. Well, look, Hazel, they're just, I suppose, some of the points that IBEC has put forward in its pre-budget submission. I suppose we're going to have to wait another few weeks to see what does come out of Budget 2023, but for the moment, thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Hazel Ahern Flynn there, an IBEC economist, talking to us about IBEC's Budget 2023 campaign. Well, that is it for this evening's In Business. My thanks to all of my guests, Debbie Merrigan, Jen O'Connor, Noreen Murphy, Eamon Sayers, Pat O'Neill and Hazel Ahern Flynn. If you want to get in contact during the week, email inbusiness@radiokerry.ie or tweet @inbusinessrk. You can also get in contact on LinkedIn on either my own Mary Gallagher page or the Radio Kerry page. If you want to listen back to any of the interviews, you can check them out on the Radio Kerry website on the podcast section, or you can search for In Business Radio Kerry on Spotify and iTunes to catch up with all of the interviews.